People, Shaq here. It's back to school time. And if you're not one of the millions of people who already own a cartridge-free Epson EcoTank printer, I just gotta ask, how are those cartridges working out for you? They still run out of ink at the worst possible time? They love to do that. And doesn't it drive you crazy those little things cost a fortune? Enough is enough, people. Don't get cartridge. Switch to Epson EcoTank. Instead of cartridges, EcoTank comes with bottles of ink. Four big bottles of beautiful ink you simply pour into EcoTank's four big ink tanks. The bottles snap in place. Then you just fill and chill. No mess, no stress. EcoTank comes with so much ink, this school year is going to be a breeze. Kids can print their homework, book reports, class projects, pictures, presentations, mathematical formulas. Hello, quadratic formula. That's my favorite. So come on, people. Don't get cartridged. Switch to Epson EcoTank. And then just fill and chill. Check it out at EpsonEcoTank.com.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we're back. And I just wanted to say very quickly, folks, the newsletter. The newsletter is very, very important. We get a lot of very, very good commentary back by the newsletter. And you really need to know it because, again, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A lot of what you're hearing tonight, you will be in these newsletters. They're free. They don't cost you anything. They cost us, but they don't cost you. And you can go to our website, wrwl.org, and it'll tell you how to get that. Or you could just write to us at WRWL 14781 Sperry. That's 14781 Sperry Road, Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio. 44065 and what is that racket here? I wanted to tell you too, we're back on the churches. We've been without power since last Thursday, but the power just came on today. We had a disaster. I want to thank all the good folks that came out to help clean up. We had three refrigerators in that church that defrosted, and what a mess that was. But we still have cleanup tomorrow, so at 2 o'clock tomorrow, doers of the word, we need you volunteers to come on by, and we got to finish cleaning up. And so we're going to go. And by the way, this Sunday, I will be preaching on the King, why the King James Bible is superior, why the King James Bible is the Bible that God has given us, and why it is so superior to all 400 of the English written Bibles, so the Bibles that are written in English, why the King James Bible is the Bible. And so we're going back right now to the founder of Tactical Civics, David Zuniga. And so, David, pick it up right there.
Thank you, brother. All right, so let's go to now to the actual mission of Tactical Civics. How do you get started? What is it, et cetera? So you go to tacticalcivics, all one word, .com, look at it. You click on the red rectangular button. There's a big red button that says join here. And an application form will come up, and you fill out that form. And then after you've done that, you can come into our training center. And so that training center is very, very busy all the time. We've got thousands of people trying to learn and teaching and Zoom classes and lots of stuff. So we make it very easy for a newbie. You come in and you go to the left-hand side, and we've got this long menu, and it says start here, and you just take one thing at a time, and you start learning things that you've never seen before. And it's really, really cool. We hear every day, 100 times a day, wow, I never knew there was anything like this. Well, there is, by the grace of God. There is. So a new chapter founder, after you join, if there's nobody else in your county yet, then you become the chapter founder. You learn the material in our training center. The first thing you do, you're just sticking kind of a proverbial flag in the ground for Tactical Civics in your county. You're saying, okay, we're here. Something, you know, we're here and I'm learning. So we take you through an orientation. We have a team of people called orienteers, and they take you through orientation, and they start showing you how to, you know, you read through the first book, The Great We Set, and when you're done with that, you start doing Zoom classes and other things with other members, and pretty soon you're ready to hold a seminar in your town so you can invite other people. So you can say, hey, I don't want to be alone. I mean, you know, I want to make a chapter here. I want to help. So we show you what to do, how to put out ads, where to do things and all that, and how to, you know, the logistics of holding a seminar. We hold your hand through everything. We walk you through everything. And so after you have your first seminar, we give you everything for the seminar. The only thing you have to do is you give a 10-minute talk about how you found Tactical Civics and, you know, how you got there. So that's the only part you do. Everything else sort of prepackaged for you so that you can just run the seminar very easily. So as we're doing this, we're holding about 50 to up to about 70 of these seminars coast to coast all over the country each month. So we're everywhere right now. There's a lot of material that we offer. When you get into the training center, you're going to see all of our books are free. You just download them, and we ask you to give them away. We ask you, the PDF books, we want you to give them away. We're not trying to make money off of this stuff. We're trying to get the word out. This is the best time in the history of these United States. I know you don't believe that right now, but you need to understand we're watching the collapse of the messy death of American communism that started 160 years ago. We're watching it die, and so it's going to take a while to die, and it's going to make a huge mess while it does. So we make that case in our books, and we show you why that we think this is true. And you can decide if that's BS or if, yeah, that does make sense. So everything that patriots are complaining about today, we the people can fix. We really can. But we have to execute on our mission plan in sequence, and we have to reach critical mass first. So we have four phases in Tactical Civics. Phase one is just building our numbers and training our members in civics and in tactics and in strategy so that everybody is working together on the same, off of the same song sheet. It's not people making it up as they go along. It's kind of like in franchising, you know, if you buy a franchise for something, you know, shoes or pizzas or food or whatever, you have to go by what they tell you to do. You can't just wing it and do anything you want and call it, you know, oh, yeah, I've got a McDonald's, but I'm making bacon burgers myself. No, you got to go by the plan. So we ask you to do what we're all doing together so that people know, no matter where they go in the country, they know that if they go to a Tactical Civics chapter, it's going to be the same thing. So you read the book, The Great Reset, you understand the entire mission plan. We have daily Zoom groups that you can go and meet and go over every chapter of the book. If you drop in and you happen to drop in on a Zoom class and you say, oh, man, they're doing chapter 12 today and I'm just starting the book, it doesn't matter. You can drop in anyway because The Great Reset, every chapter stands alone. Each chapter is a freestanding lesson. So you can come in anywhere and start the book there, and then when you're done, you can go over and start again at chapter one later. And they're going on every day, so don't worry, you'll get through it. So we also have it in audiobook if you want to just listen to it as you drive or commute or whatever, run or something. We've got the audiobook. So people think that we need, oh, yeah, well, okay, maybe this is great, but we need to have 51% or more, you know, like we do for electoral politics. We're never going to get that many people. Well, look, number one, in failed systems, I always like to say this, look, in failed systems, elections are meaningless. So forget about electoral politics for a while. For these next 10 or 20 years, why don't we just set that aside for a minute, because it's not going to change anything. Electoral politics won't. And Tactical Civics is law enforcement. And Tactical Civics is citizen oversight. So we only need half of 1% of Americans to step up and take responsibility. Can you believe that? Isn't that cool? One out of every 200 people is all we need, because this is law enforcement. This is not majoritarian, you know, electoral politics. So the goal is, you know, the people. Oh, by the way, let me just get off subject just for a second, because Ernie, you mentioned something a minute ago about taxes, and I wrote a book. The fear of the IRS has not worked on me for 29 years, because for the past 29 years I've been a law-abiding non-taxpayer, very vocal about it too. I have a website called thetaxhonestyprimer.com, or just taxhonestyprimer.com, and I have a book. It's a small book, but powerful, called A Tax Honesty Primer. And in that book, I explain that 14 times the IRS made money demands of me, and all 14 times I sent them home empty-handed. Well, how did I do that? Was it magic? Am I just some scofflaw? No. I obey the law. I tell the truth. And I make my IRS servants do the same. They have to obey the law, and they have to tell the truth. And I know the tax code better than most of them do. I've studied it for 29 years. Okay, so in my little book, A Tax Honesty Primer, the way I've quote-unquote gotten away with it, 14 times that they've made demands of me, I name all 14 of those operatives and give their where they're from, you know, their offices. And I tell you, look, the only way that I've gotten away with this is that I know the tax code and I obey it. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with the tax code. I know many of you may not believe this. But so they finally gave up 19 years after about 10 years of bugging me, they finally gave up on me. 19 years ago, I haven't heard from them for almost 20 years. But I realized through going through tax honesty, I realized, you know, the whole IRS thing, they're just bagmen for the DCCP operatives in Congress. And in turn, all of those legislators in Congress, they're just mules for the world's most powerful corporations and families and individuals. So we have this thing, organized crime, like criminologist Donald Cressy mentioned and detailed for us in his book so many years ago, that it's just organized crime. Okay, now, how did I get out of it? Well, if you read A Tax Honesty Primer, you'll see there's no magic involved, no magic at all. You obey the law and you just... So anyway, that's that. I haven't worried about filing anything or keeping any records or doing anything with the IRS for 29 years, and I'm fine. They haven't touched a hair on my head. They haven't bugged me, nothing. All right, but back to our mission sequence. Okay, so I talked about phase one. Phase one is just we're building this network. We have about 770 groups started all over the United States today. We need 3,141. We need at least one in every county. There's 3,141 counties or county equivalents in these United States. So we want to have one in every county. So when we reach critical mass, now we go to phase two, and that's passing our grand jury and militia ordinances in the counties. And the authority of we the people to investigate crime when impaneled as the grand jurors, that authority is basically it's unlimited. So people don't understand just how much power the American people have, if we only knew it, when we're impaneled as a grand jury. So we found a book, the only book of its kind. It had gone out of print. It's called The People's Panel, The Grand Jury in the United States, 1634 through 1941. I found an old half-leather bound one and paid a lot of money for it. But we tore it apart and got it scanned and we got the approval to reprint it. So now it's a reprint. You can find it at Amazon, The People's Panel. Just look for it under that name and you'll see it right away. It's a black book by Richard D. Younger. And it says, a reprint of historic significance by Tactical Civics. You read that book and you will pump your fist in the air all day long. You won't believe 300 years, in the more than 300 years since grand juries first convened on American soil, panels of representative citizens have spoken out against every kind of threat to our liberty. Agents of the British Crown at first, territorial appointees, you know, political politicians, meddling abolitionists, corrupt machine politicians in the big cities, corporate monopolies, racketeering criminals, dirty cops, dirty judges, dirty DAs, dirty sheriffs. Anyway, they have all felt the wrath of an aroused grand jury. And if you read the People's Panel, you'll go, wow, why aren't we doing that now? Well, because you didn't know you could, right? So I wrote a little book to take it, to make it very personal. And it's your little handbook. It's called Grand Jury Awake. Very small book, but it's all meat. It's 108 pages. No matter which state you're in, it gives you the rules for your state for serving on grand jury in the appendices. It's very short. It gives you a short history. It tells you, here's what you get to do. Like the murdered Justice Antonin Scalia explained in a ruling called U.S. versus Williams. He explained that the grand jury is essentially its own thing. It is sui generis. It is a separate from the court. The only thing the court does is impanel it. The court does have to call it and impanel it. But then the judge has to be hands-off. So whenever the once you're sitting in that grand jury chamber, you're just like a judge. In fact, you're above the judge because you can investigate the judge if the judge is dirty. So we explain to you in grand jury way how much power you have right now today if you only knew it. So don't you need to know how to serve on grand jury? So we cover that. And in that book, at the back of the book, we have a proposed ordinance, county grand jury ordinance, so that your county can do what 26 counties in California have been doing for the past 40 years, which is they have a page on their county website that says, here's where you can sign up. You can volunteer to serve on grand jury. Sign up here. Now, see, most counties in the U.S., you can't do that. And the other thing that Californians learned how to do, you can also, if you find any kind, you think there's a crime, a major crime going on in your county, you can report it through the clerk. You don't go directly to the panel because the panel is supposed to be completely secret. So you can't go directly to the grand jury foreman, but you go to the clerk of the court. So anyway, California's already been doing this for 40 years. We want to take this everywhere, all of the counties in the United States. The people need to know, when you see these things like a stolen election happen, right now in your county, you don't need to let it go. You can go after those people right now. You can impanel a grand jury and stop that nonsense right now. That's the power we have. Now, if you start going after, let's say, a bent judge or a bent sheriff or something, well, how the heck are you going to get the sheriff to execute your summonses or your search warrants or your arrest warrants, right? If you're going after the sheriff, so the second 1,000-year-old institution of Western law is the militia. By the way, both grand jury and militia were both initially called up about 1,000 years ago, 997 A.D. for the grand jury and 1014 A.D. for the militia, were called up by the same king. His name was King Ethelred. So anyway, these are very ancient institutions. So the militia now, what do we say in the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15? We say militia will execute the laws of the Union. That's the only place we talk about law enforcement in our whole Constitution. We don't say the sheriff will. We don't say the police will. We say militia will. Well, if you don't have militia, now what? Who's going to execute the laws of the Union, especially when the sheriff is bent, or the judge, or the DA, or whatever? So you see, we've got a problem in America. It's a law enforcement problem. So we have to go county by county and rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. Just like, you know, when you go to Nehemiah, you see the wall all collapsed. And what did the people do first? The people were all crying and, you know, we're undone. And what did they do first? They prayed first, didn't they? They prayed first. They had to pray first. They had to repent their sins. Then they all got to work on their sections of the wall. When So that's what we're doing. We're going county by county, and we're saying, all right, we're going to start fixing this, and here's how we fix it. So that's what our books do. The third book that I want to mention tonight is called Time to Start Over America, and it's a big white book, and it's all about the real militia, not the militia guys that are running around in camo and with AR-15s and playing Soldier of Fortune. No, no. I'm talking about the real, original, like in the colonial era, American militia. So I discuss it. I go through the history. I go through the whole bit and show how different this is from the militia that you may be, have been seeing for the last 50 years across America. So it's called Time to Start Over America, and that's the third book that we tell people, you know, you really should read this, because when the militia and the grand jury in each county start working together, you now have the American people doing what the English people were doing 1,000 years ago when a king would go back, or when an earl, or when a, you know, when one of the big shots would go back. What did you do? Well, the people got together. So we still, this is all lawful, it's all peaceful, it's all constitutional. This is how we take America back. We do it by the book. We don't do anything wacky. We don't do anything illegal. We don't do, you know, any of that. So that's what tactical civics is, and that's why it's called tactical civics. We're just putting, so we push through a county militia ordinance after we push through the county grand jury ordinance. The grand jury has to come first, and then you legitimize the county militias when you pass that ordinance. So even people who already have militia groups and say, well, we don't want to disband our militia group. We've been training for years and we know what we're doing. Well, okay, but you still have to be legitimized. As in early America, you have to be legitimized by some elective body of the people. That's how it was always done, whether it was done in a township, whether it was done in a county, whether it was done in a state. For centuries, that's the way militia was done. So just a bunch of guys with guns, I mean, you can have, you know, BLM, you know, Black Lives Matter, they'll start their own militia. You know, Antifa might start their own militias, and skinheads, Nazi skinheads might start their own militia. How do you know who's real militia? You can't do it that way. So anyway, we're going back to our original roots in America and saying, how do we fix this? We go back and we do everything the way our fathers used to do 250 years ago.
All right, very good. Now, how many counties, what did you say, in over 700 counties now, do we have grand juries? And how many counties do we have grand juries?
Oh, we have grand juries in most of the states right now, but except for two, Connecticut and Pennsylvania don't even use the grand jury. Now, that's illegal for them to do that. But until the people of Pennsylvania, we have a very active group, and our Pennsylvania chapters are really growing fast. So we're going to have to deal with that at the constitutional level. In other words, the state constitution of Pennsylvania and of Connecticut are going to have to be updated, are going to have to be amended, and that's going to be up to the people in our chapters in those two states. In all the other states, now I walk you through all 50 states in the little book, Grand Jury Awake, and I show you the hill that you have to climb in your particular state. And so what we tell you is, look, we're in phase one right now. We're going to talk about grand jury later. We're going to talk about militia later. But right now, we have to talk about you learning civics and American history. So let's go through the original stuff first so that you get up to speed, and so that you can start teaching people around you, and so that we can start building our numbers, because until we get big enough to scare the bad guys, and until we get big enough to actually, when we mobilize, when we come to a meeting of the county commissioners, we have to fill that room. And when we fill that room, if somebody with a, you know, some person from radio or TV or some other, you know, medium comes up with a microphone and shoves it in your face, We want to know that just about everybody in that room knows how to answer questions. They know what we're there for. They know what tactical civics is. They won't misrepresent it. They know enough civics where they can answer. So In other words, we're just teaching America civics for the first time in generations. But this is tactical and applied civics. This is civics on the ground for real. So we say that repentance is an action word, because what is all of this? This is us. This is the church. This is the followers of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, repenting in very, very practical things. Because as you've said every day, Ernie, you know, here we are. We know we're sinning. We know that the people are, quote unquote, leaders. They're not our leaders. They're our servants. I know they don't think they're our servants, but by law, they're our servants. Everything's a mess. And we say, well, where do we start? Shouldn't we start by repenting? Well,
oh, yeah.
Repent. Do you just pray a prayer of repentance and say, okay, there, I repented? No. Yet, repentance has, yes, it has prayer up front. But like I was saying about Nehemiah, you read chapter 7, 8, 9. In Nehemiah, you start seeing, well, yeah, you pray, but then you work. You know, you don't just pray, you repent. You repent in action.
Repent is actually a military term. It means about face. You
about
go
face.
In the
yes.
go in the other direction.
Yep.
And so look, let me ask you this: Do you want to take some phone calls? Because right about now you're going to have a lot of people with a lot of questions. Are you up to phone calls, or do you want to finish?
Sure.
Okay.
Happy to. No. I'm fine.
All right. So what we're going to do? We will open the phone lines at 888. 677-9673. Now, we want to keep on topic here, folks. We're talking about here tonight. We're talking about tactical civics. We're talking about how we need to take our country back. And it's working because it's how to convene. We're going to get into how to convene that what we need, a grand jury. Because the opposition has used this against us to reverse it. What we need to do, again, is learn how to do it county by county. And that grand jury, we can get rid of the bad people. Here in Ohio, for example, we've got so much corruption in our state government, not just the state government and the county government. And we can't expect the bad guys to prosecute themselves. We see what's happening right now with President Trump. Okay,
exactly.
And so
see how they use the grand jury. See,
yeah,
see, they know how.
exactly. So what we have to do is learn how to do it on them. So the phone line's open at 888-677-9673. Nationwide, stay on topic. 888-677-9673. If you have the question or comment or you know, you're wondering how to get started, you wonder how to get in touch with somebody in your county. But go ahead.
While we wait, let's keep going, because phase three is where it really gets exciting. Phase one was build our numbers and get all over America. Number two, phase two was we're going to get our two ordinances passed in the county. That's the grand jury ordinance and militia ordinance, so we can start rebuilding those. And phase three is our action project to get 27 more states to ratify the original first article in our Bill of Rights. It is still standing open under the Fifth Amendment and ready to be ratified by 27 more states, and it will make U.S. House districts not be able to exceed 50,000 people. Right now, they're more than 15 times that large. So there are some U.S. House districts over a million people. So it's already been ratified by 11 states. Kentucky, Maryland, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, Virginia, and Vermont. They all ratified way back in the 1790s. But we still need 27 more to have 38 to have a, you know, a majority, six, whatever, three, four, two-thirds. Anyway, we need 27 more states to ratify out of the 39 that haven't looked at it. So we only need 27 more, and we will have small districts again. That was the only thing in the 5 months that the Founding Fathers met in Philadelphia for the original Constitutional Convention. George Washington never spoke in plenary session until the last day. Nathaniel Gorham had been bugging him about this, and on the last day, General George stood up and he talked about, he asked them to make Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 at the time, now it's Clause 4, it says 30,000. Well, it at that time it said 40,000. And he said, I think that this is the only exceptionable part of this plan. He said it's too big, you know, too prone. If a House district is 40,000 people, too prone to corruption. So they brought it down to 30,000. So right now, if you read the Article 1, Section 2, Clause 4 of the Constitution, it says 30,000. How come we have 900,000 in a U.S. congressional district? Well, because of the crime of 29. In 1929, while everybody was reeling from the Great Depression, Congress, as they always love to do, Congress passed the supposed permanent apportionment act.
Hold right there, David. We're up against a hard break. We will be back right after this.
Potentate, he made the ground, the mountains high and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around.
Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Some men are like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. Man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by a man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man. Strong enough to change the heart of any man, this man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around.
Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around.
Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
All right, that is Potentate. And folks, I wrote that song and recorded that song with the real Joe Clark. And a lot of people thought that somebody smarter than me wrote it, but it wasn't. It was me. I'm telling you, that was me that wrote that song. And that's Potentate. And we're going to take some calls. We're going to go to Colorado and talk to Kurt. Hey, Kurt, you're in the air.
Hello.
Hey, Kurt. Hello. You're in the air. Go ahead.
First time caller. You know, I've been convicted by the Holy Spirit to just can't sit here and let this go on anymore. And I've called police dispatch 3 times, talked to 3 different policemen, and told them, you know, I called police dispatch, they all, what's the crime? It's mass murder. I mean, you got to be an idiot to not see what's going on. You know, children are getting myocarditis. They need to take the shot off the shelf. The shot is a bioweapon. It says it in their documents. Ask Sherry Tinpenny, been on your show. I'm in the process of filing agreements with Jefferson and Adams County sheriffs for dereliction of duty and possibly their coroners and other stuff because they're just looking the other way. And I tell these policemen that they're cowards and, you know, they need to be convicted by the Holy Spirit and do something, do their job.
You know, well, I would agree.
In the investigations, I want to talk to higher-ups and detectives when they're just, you know, keep on passing the buck and sending me to a different
place. That's what we're doing tonight, Kurt. That's what we're doing, the program here tonight, is so that we can go ahead and have those police officers actually enforce the law according to our Constitution.
Thank God for your program, and hopefully everybody gets this message. Quit sitting on your rear end and get out there and tell the police that to do their job. Tell them it's dereliction of duty and they're cowards if they don't.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for calling. Let's go to out to Mary. Hey, Mary, you're in the air. Hey, Mary.
Hello?
Hello, you're in the air. Go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling to tell you, if you go to the Doug and Stacy Prepper channel, they just put on that there's 29 gas stations in Florida. Instead of putting regular gas in, they put diesel in. So these people went to the gas stations to load up to get the hell out of Dodge. And they're thinking they're getting regular gas, and they're getting diesel gas.
Oh, boy. Diesel gas don't run very good in ordinary gasoline-powered cars, does it?
No. It destroys the engine.
And then there's another problem. It's called Dutchton. It's Dutchsine. He predicts earthquakes and the weather. Okay, just 5 minutes ago, it showed that this it's going to go through Florida. I mean, it's going to go through on the one side of Florida. It's going to come out, connect to the Atlantic side, go back into Florida again, and it's going to stay in Florida.
Wow. We just had an earthquake in Ohio here. We just had one. We had something like this year in Ohio, we had 51 tornadoes already. Normally, an entire year, you get 21 things. A little strange out there today. And I think God is sending us a message. He's telling us he's not real happy with us.
Tornado is going to go in one side of Florida, go through it, and get into the Atlantic, hook up with the other tornado, and it's going to go back in on the east side, and then it's going to stay in Florida and tear it up more.
That's the hurricane, not a tornado. That's a hurricane you're talking about.
Right. This is the hurricane. It's going to go into one side, go through it, come out onto the Atlantic, and then go back in, and it's going to stay in there a while and tear it up.
What part of Florida are you in?
I'm not in Florida. I'm in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I'm on YouTube, and I just seen he has the diaphragm, and he put it out probably 10 minutes ago. It's showing that the hurricane's going to go in. I think it's in the one, I'm not great on all this stuff. It's going to go in the side predicted one, and then it's going to go through out to the Atlantic and then come back into the east side of Florida. So it's going to go out, it's going to go in, through, out to the Atlantic, and then go back in again, and it's going to stay in there a while.
Well, thanks, Mary, for letting us know. I have to move on. Uh-huh. Lines are loaded. Okay. Who do we have next there?
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Let's go to Lisa. Where's Lisa calling from?
Hi there. I'm calling from New York City. I just got home, so I don't even know who the guest is, his name, but I'm interested
David. His David is David Zuniga. He is the founder of Tactical Civics.
Okay. How do you spell Zuniga?
Z-U-N-I-G-A. Z-U-N-I-G-A.
And what is his website?
Tactical Civics, all one word, .com.
Get information about the tax code because the IRS screwed me up in 2011, and it's a big problem. They falsely accused me of owing the money that they found out 9 months later that I already paid them. But anyway, it's a long story, but it's just a...
Yeah, we don't actually... The only thing I personally do with tax honesty is I offer my book, but it's not a part of Tactical Civics. So my book, A Tax Honesty Primer, is just available to anyone, but I do not do any kind of tax consulting or any of that. I just offer, here's my story, here's what I did, here's what I've done for almost 30 years now, and here's what you can do, and I leave it at that. So, sorry, I don't offer any kind of tax consulting.
So the name of the book?
Oh, A Tax Honesty Primer.
Primer. Okay, and I get on Amazon?
Primer. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, who do we have next? Let's go out to Cliff. Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, I want to bring up, scripturally, Isaiah chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, 23 and 24. 19 and 20 is talking, and I think that's been happening, for example, with the shots calling evil good, good evil. Before that, verse 19 is saying that the calling for the counsel and knowledge of the Lord to counteract that. And then in verse 23, 24, it's talking about how the people cast aside the laws of the Lord. So I'd ask your guest about those scriptures.
Well, it's the first I've heard that you said, give me the scripture reference again.
It's Isaiah chapter 5, when those people put good for evil and evil for good.
Wrong chapter. Okay.
And he's telling them about how they've departed from the counsel of the Lord, obviously this is what so much of what's happening today. That's the reason it's happening the way it is. And I've been preaching on that for 50 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same. Isaiah, speaks this way a lot of times. And so do all the major prophets, but that's exactly what we've been living through. But my point tonight was that in connection with, if we're looking at the bad guys and saying, well, see, they're doing this and this. Well, yes, I know that. But what I'm trying to tell you, saints, is that let's look at ourselves first. What are we supposed to be doing about this? And why has the Lord allowed this in our lives? Why is he doing this? For instance, you can go to the book of Job and you say, all right, look at all these terrible things happening to this man after God's own heart. Why did this happen? Well, go to chapter 1 and look. And what does it say? All the angels were checking in before the Lord, and here comes Satan, and the Lord says, what have you been doing? And Satan says, going to and fro about the earth. Basically he's making trouble. But he's still reporting in, right? And this is chapter 1. And by the way, you'll find it again in chapter 2. It's sort of repeated where the Lord says, the Lord starts it. God asks Satan, have you considered my servant Job? So the Lord sets it all up. Now, why did the Lord set it up? And he does it twice, chapter 1 and chapter 2. Okay, so why are these things happening to us, saints? Why is America going through all of this? Well, or let me flip the question over. Would you expect God to bless us right now and to restore our land if all of us, if we are not doing what we're supposed to do, as you can read in Romans chapter 13? Look, we're supposed to be, by law, we're the highest magistrate, if you want to put it that way. What Supreme Court Chief Justice John Jay, the first Supreme Court Chief Justice, said in a case called Chisholm versus Georgia, the first important case of the High Court, he said, after the revolution, the people are the sovereign. Okay, so we're the sovereign, and we're supposed to, and we understand that God is the ultimate sovereign. He's the sovereign over his entire universe, every speck of his universe. All right, so We're supposed to be sovereign over this Constitution, the most wonderful Constitution, the oldest extant Constitution in the world, also the shortest. And we're not watching it. We're not enforcing it. Isn't that stupid? Well, yes, it's stupid. All right, why are we being so stupid? Well, why are all the churches not doing anything? Why does it seem like so many people are just...
Let me answer that question for you right now, because, and I've done this 100 times. You remember that fellow called Charles Finney? He started a university college not far from here called Oberlin. And at that time, it actually was a college, okay? But here's what Charles Finney had to say, because he answered that question you just asked, and it was in a message called The Decay of Conscience. He said, if there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the press lacks moral discernment, and boy do they, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, and boy is it, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, and boy have they, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundation of the government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. I've been preaching that for 50 years.
Okay? Amen. I use that exact Finney quote several times in several of my books. And, you know, and we tell pastors, and a lot of the pastors have come over and have started joining us. So we are seeing an awakening among pastors, and they're saying, okay, they have to repent first. And when they start repenting, it starts pouring over to the people. So,
amen. You're right.
It's great to watch what's happening right now, because I tell people, look, if you understood how bad things have been for 160 years, you wouldn't be so down in the mouth right now about what's happening. Watch what's happening with us. Please come and see. Pay $5, join for 1 month. Go to tacticalcivics.com, click on the join button. Don't join for a year, just join for a month. You can do yearly or monthly. Just do monthly. Just pay $5, go in there, go to the book section, download all of our books for free. There, you got more than your $5 back. And now just look at what we've done over 80,000 hours over the past 15 years. Look at what all these men of God have done. We worked very, very hard by the counsel of the Holy Spirit. It's been amazing. We're just falling forward every day, and the Holy Spirit has been feeding and feeding and feeding us, and this is amazing. He's showing us how to repair these ruins.
All righty. So I've got to jump in for a minute here. Hold tight. Style, how much time do I have? All right. We're coming to the end of the program, David, here. Would you like to give an invitation to tell folks out there, until we have you back on, how they can avoid a burning lake of fire and how they can get to paradise? Would you like to give an invitation tonight?
Certainly.
Okay. You've got 5 minutes.
Well, you who are listening, if you do not know, if you do not understand that the creator of this universe, the word that made everything that exists, he calls, and he was killed, and he died, and he gave himself up, and he rose again so that you would know eternal life. Now, you can say no to it, or you can say it makes no sense, or you don't believe it. That's fine. The choice is yours. God always gives man the choice. So the choice is yours. But imagine if this is true, and you could actually have eternal life, you never die. You never see death, okay? In this body you do, but immediately you'll see the greatest joy you've ever seen. You will hear and see and smell and taste things you never thought could exist. It's an amazing thing to be in the hand of God. It's there, right there. Now you have to believe in him. You have to come to him, and you have to make confession that you do believe in him. And then you have to find a body, a church. Doesn't have to have a steeple on it. You have to find a group of saints, and you have to start being in communion with them and understanding that there's a whole new life out there. As messed up as you think as your life is right now, and you can go back and see past years how bad things have been, and you thought they were going to get worse. They don't have to. They don't have to. You can have the most amazing life. And all of a sudden, once you say yes to him and you start reading the scriptures, you won't believe how your life will change. Every aspect of your life will change. I'm not saying you won't have troubles anymore, but wow, everything in your life will become so much clearer. And you'll understand, okay, I don't die now. I'll never see death. It's pretty amazing. That's what Christ calls. He gives you this invitation. He gives all men this invitation, no matter where you are in the world. It's yours to take. Will you come to Christ? Will you say, I'm willing, I'm certainly all messed up. Doesn't matter how messed up you are. I was very messed up when I came to him. That doesn't matter. Listen, if the Holy Spirit, if what you feel in your heart right now, guess what? Guess who attests? Guess who gives you the words that you might not be able to come up with? That's called the Holy Spirit of God. Just give in. Watch what happens to your life. That's all I've got.
Well, the way you do that is what? The very first thing the Lord Jesus says is to pray to the Father and repent. There are people out there that are teaching the Word of Faith movement that repentance is not necessary for salvation.
It's
absolutely necessary. Without repentance, there is no salvation.
There is no salvation.
Yeah. And the Lord Jesus said, unless you repent, you likewise will suffer the same consequences as those that have refused. And so then you call upon the Father, you pray to the Father, you ask him to forgive you of your sins. And then once you've done that, then you ask the Lord Jesus, because see, God will always honor your commitment. Then you ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. It's very, very important that you do that, that you make it very, very clear that you realize that he took your place upon the cross. He died a substitutionary death. It was your sins he took upon himself. And boy, I'm going to tell you, the Bible said he suffered like no man had ever suffered. He paid a price. He did for you what you could never, ever, ever do for yourself. Okay. And then once you have done that, you will become a new creature. You will become an heir of the kingdom. See, we're not second-class citizens. You understand? The world tells us out there, okay, that we're second. We're useless eaters and we're deniers of this and that. But God says, no, 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 we're the children. We're the heirs of the kingdom. And it's the world out there that's in big trouble. They're the misfits, not us, okay? Once you've done that, you become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom. And then at that point, you will become indwelt with the Holy Spirit. So what happens? Well, then what do? When someone gives you a gift, you thank them. You say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And then you say, amen and hallelujah. And that is the greatest thing you could ever do. You could never, ever do anything that will mean as much to you. Well, we're at the end of the program. So at this point, we always say, good night. So say good night. God bless. Say God bless. And then always, ready? Always, always, always. Let's keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.